Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds good to me. All right, guys, we are here to the rescue again with some great information. And I got Dave Stoltz with me. And if you really saw the amazing work he did in detailing and outlining, getting a suit, it's just pay attention, because there are times in your life you really want to ring and show and just look comfortable and just feel great. And that's the one for that. Today, we're going to get to the rest of your daily life and things you get into. Dave, my brother, it is so great to have you here. How you doing, brother?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. It's been an exciting time making that video for you guys, and I hope it's helpful for men that are looking to get into their first suit or just understand a little bit more about men's suiting, because it can get quite daunting very quickly.
Well, it is, and when you do have an occasion to wear one, you just want to be like, especially most of the time it's gonna be in a dating environment, so you just want to walk in the room and the woman goes, wow. So yeah. So just walking in, you feeling good and having them get the just wow effect is great. So today we want to talk about the anti-wow and avoiding that.
Sounds good to me.
So let's start off with it. There's typically, I would categorize them as three different dressing styles, aside from the suit. You're going to have recreational sports, which include going to being on a boat, going to the beach, or going to the gym. You've got casual walk-around wear, and then you've got work wear, stuff you'd wear to work, aside from wearing a suit. So I want to go through each of those a little bit and talk about faux pas. And from my perspective, we bring guys from all over the world, typically to Ukraine or Colombia on these dating events, these Quest Romance tours, and we always have to prep them a little bit, because it's like, and it's universal. So guys, don't feel bad. You're not the only one. Every guy's this way. I was the same way. 15 years ago when I first started going overseas, they said I dressed like a grandpa, and so it's not your fault. Honestly, it's just, we live in a fashion void culture. Now you spent a lot of time in the Slavic world as well. And in Europe, let's start with a general understanding of considering cultural differences. Is there just a different understanding and expectation of fashion between America and other parts of the world?
Absolutely. There really is. When it comes to European fashion, to me, the pinnacle of men's fashion is in Italy. Italian men are some of the best dressers in the world. Obviously, Italian suits are the most sought after for men in the world. Some of the English suiters are very good as well, or English tailors. They are very good as well, and they hold some of the highest price points for bespoke suits at $100,000+ for a suit. So they definitely know what they've been doing for generations. Some of the differences between American culture and European culture is the European culture, in just Europeans by stature, typically are a little more thin. They're less muscular. And that's, this is generalization. This isn't the end all be all, because when I buy fashion in Europe, I always have to get the largest size, because it's what would be considered a large here in the States. So just the sizing of Europeans in general is a little slimmer, and the cut is a lot more fitted than we have here in the US. In the US, we have a baggier cut, a larger cut in general, and it's not very form-fitting, and the materials that we use tend to be heavier materials. They hang differently on the body. They present differently on different body shapes. And I think personally, with Italy being kind of the epicenter of men's fashion and suiting, it just kind of spread through Europe a lot easier than it has here in the States. There's some amazing tailors here in the States. I love working with some of the people here in the States, and they really understand that. And a lot of my cuts for my suiting and my clothing are very European, just because it's more form-fitting. And if you're a smaller guy looking to present to the world a bigger, more muscular version of you, wearing something that is more form-fitting will actually do that. And a lot of people think, in the States that I've seen, at least, if they wear bigger clothes, they look bigger. They actually shrink and they swim in those clothes, and it just does not look appropriate. So
yeah,
those are some of the immediate faux pas and the immediate differences that I see between American and European culture. Now, men's suit pants, this is a very distinct difference between Europe and the US. Men's suit pants are rarely tapered in the US. They're more baggy, and they typically have a full break at the bottom of the pant leg, where a lot of contemporary and more European slim cut style, they're more straight leg, showing the ankle off, showing those striped or happy socks, as my stylist calls them.
Yeah. Well, let's, you spent a good hour on suits. I want to get to day wear and fashion outside of suits and outside of tailored clothes. Just let's do some general faux pas and things guys have on just day wear. And a couple of things that come right to mind is there's, like you said, the first one is what you call form fitting. You know, guys, it just means wearing tighter clothes. It just means, you know, typically when I like wear t-shirts now, I wear ones that fit tighter to my chest. And even though it's a little tighter on my stomach and I have a little bit of a bulge, not an obese bulge, you know, that's actually okay. Cause the looking, having your form tight does a couple things. It shows, it actually makes you look thinner, even though you may think you look fatter because you may have a little bit of a bulge, but it just makes you look sharp and it makes you look tighter. It makes you look more athletic. And I think in general, when guys are wearing golf shirts, simple button-up shirts, short-sleeve shirts, collared shirts, even t-shirts, they tend to go baggy, and the baggy look is just baggy. It just looks sloppy.
It is. It is. It's very sloppy. And that was in style back in the 90s during the big skateboarding heyday. It was the big baggy shirts, the big baggy pants. And that's not something that is in fashion at all. That's a microcosm of fashion. But you're absolutely right. When you're wearing those large oversized clothes, like I'm saying before, you drown in them. It doesn't show the body off the way it should be shown. You don't look as athletic and toned as you should be. And a lot of men do that because of the exact reason that you said, oh, well, I have a beer belly or I have a little belly. And actually, when guys wear those big shirts, it's like a big square flag. And it just looks like a giant box walking down the street, as opposed to, okay, I have a little belly. Oh, I can see some definition of the arms, the chest, and the lats coming down the side. Sure, there's a little belly there, but that guy looks a lot more presentable than the guy that has just the big shirt that hangs on him like he's a clothesline or something like that.
It reminds me of, remember that Simpsons episode where Homer tried to gain as much weight so he could get on this disability thing, and so he wore these muumuus. It was like dresses. He's wearing these muumuus every day, and you know, and I was one of those guys. You know, when I look back in pictures myself back in the day 15 years ago, and I would wear, because I was bigger. You know, I was probably 40 pounds bigger than I am now, and so I'd wear these outhanging button up shirts. And, but you know, the truth is two things happen. One is like when you wear just a little bit tighter, even if you have a little bit of stomach, you may have to, we'll get to this in a second, which shirts you hang out, which ones you tuck in. Sure. But, in general, one, at least, you know, presents the best you can with what you have. When it's oversized, then you almost draw too much. It's funny. It's reverse psychology. Yeah. When you wear this tense, like oversized shirt, it just almost emphasizes that I'm embarrassed with my weight and it's huge. When it's a little bit tight, you know, it's like, yeah, it shows you got a belly, but you're like, but I'm cool. I'm cool with me. And so, you know, you got to look at your overall physique and everything else in it. But in general, the other thing does motivate you to lose some weight, you know, cause then, and then what happens when you start losing the weight and you're wearing these tighter feeling clothes, you're like, yeah, see this chest? Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. And, you know, so it's a motivation as well. So I'd say the same thing goes with the pants. You know, it's funny because wearing pants that obviously not choking yourself to death, but have a little bit of a snug on your button and your legs, you know, you'll end up looking in the mirror and everybody's like, wow, you know, that you're looking pretty good. And yeah. We tend to go to this thing where in America, we worship comfort. We worship comfort and pleasure, and to the point where it's like people, and you've seen this in Walmart, people are wearing freaking pajamas in public, you know, and sweatpants and things that are so embarrassing because they're like, well, I'm comfortable in it. Well, it's like, come on. I mean, where are you trying to get in life? You know, there's got to be a little bit of common sense that goes along with this. Comfort isn't the end solution. Comfort doesn't buy you the girl. Comfort doesn't buy you the next job promotion. Comfort doesn't buy you respect, you know, all the time. There's a compromise between comfortable and fit. I'm not saying be horribly uncomfortable, but that's not your highest aim, is just to be comfortable, or else you'd be wearing slippers and pajamas all day.
Exactly. Some people do, as we know. but there's absolutely a happy medium where you have great fitting clothing that is actually comfortable. And that is finding materials that you enjoy having on your body that fit your body very well. Like, I love Prima cotton t-shirts. It's an amazing cotton. The weight of it hangs on my body great. It feels comfortable and it fits my body the way I like it to fit and what looks good to me. And this is another mistake that I see a lot of men make. And kind of back, we'll jump to that in one second, but back to your point, Mark, you were saying we're obsessed with comfort. Men specifically are obsessed with comfort because they've never been asked to wear clothing that actually fits them appropriately. And so when we put it on, it feels uncomfortable. But once you get comfortable with proper fitting clothing, when you wear something that's ill-fitting, you feel very, very weird.
You feel sloppy.
It begins
to feel uncomfortable to feel sloppy.
Yeah.
Liz, you mentioned one thing I wanted to get into just for a quick second, because one of the things about a golf shirt, a t-shirt, or there's many other different forms of this, is that it's a different kind of woven material as opposed to, you know, a linen fabric. So this doesn't have as much stretch in it. The other kinds of t-shirts and golf shirts have a different kind of stretch to them. And the reason I want to get into that is because that's one of the criteria in whether you're deciding whether you're going to have tuck the shirt in or leave it out.
Correct. Yeah, and also the cut of the bottom of the shirt. Some shirts that have, if you look at them and they dip down in the front and kind of up over the hip and then have like a tailpiece on them, those are the types of shirts that always need to be tucked in. And shirts that are cut flat across the bottom or have just a little arc across the bottom, those are shirts that are designed to be worn untucked. And so that's a very easy way for men to identify which shirt should be tucked in and which shirt should not be tucked in. And then when you get into the multi-way stretch materials and the synthetic materials, the materials today in shirts are phenomenal, especially with all the tech wear. You know, when you're getting into golfing and sporting, the shirts look so amazing, and it's a great wicking material. It keeps you cool or it keeps you warm. So the technology today, there's just really no excuse to not have amazing fitting clothing, whether you're on the golf course, whether you're at the gym, whether you're going to the beach. It's the technology is here. Clothing can be totally form-fitting and extremely comfortable. So, you know, the excuses when guys give me that about, oh, well, it's not comfortable, I'm like, well, you're just not wearing the right thing and you're just not giving it a chance and getting used to that new feeling. And it's kind of funny. I keep some older fashion around because I know as well as you that fashion is just an ever revolving circle, and I can mix certain things in when I feel like it. And I have some looser cut jeans at the bottom that I wear with my cowboy boots sometimes. And I put those on the other day. I was like, whoa, these things feel weird. Cause I'm just so used to that European tapered leg where these were not the case. And then, you know, with my cowboy boots, that was a little weird.
Yeah. Well, let's also delineate a couple things. So one, you got a couple different fabrics, you got a couple of different cuts at the bottom, whether they're tucked in or tucked out. And by and large, if you were to ask somebody, like if you were to ask Anna, you know, your Anna or somebody from Ukraine, you know, they would probably recommend guys most of the time to tuck in. They just think it's a sharper look. One of the differentiating rules is for me, for instance, I'm only 5'8½", maybe 5'9". So that's it really, in retrospect today, that's considered a shorter man, you know, and guys, some guys are 5'4", 5'6". And so in doing that, when you have a shirt out, it makes you look even shorter because it makes your legs look even shorter. So, and if you're a tall guy, you know, then having it out actually helps balance the look. So as a rule of thumb, you know, there's, you can tend to have more untucked if you're over 5'9", you know, because it helps lengthen you a little bit. And if you're 5'9 or under, then tucking in more lengthens your legs and it balances your overall body look. That's one of the things. The other thing is, like you said, the cut on the bottom of the shirt, if it's square. And then the other thing is, what's your outcome? You know, what are you trying to look on today? What's the feel? You know, is this a work environment where it's work casual? Is this hanging out with your buddies, having beers? Is this a day at the beach? You know, what's the appropriate genre that you want? And so for me, being a shorter guy, even when I go to the gym, when I'm going in and out of the gym, I tuck in my t-shirts. I was really cool. Oh, yeah, I should have brought one. Oh yeah, here we go. This is one of my gym t-shirts, and I love these things. It's got this is a Puma shirt, and so it has a little bit of style and fashion to it. Even though it's just, you know, I just wore this today. It's a Puma shirt, but even with this, I'll tuck it into the sweatpants just to lengthen me. And then of course, when I work out, you know, I have the strap tank top kind of workout shirt that is untucked. But even for me, the look going in and out is my representation of myself to the world. Because afterwards, I may go to Walmart and buy some more of this, or I may go to this other store and do that. And wherever I'm seen, or may go to lunch with a friend, if I'm still in that sweatsuit, I've got really cool looking shoes. They go with the pants go with the shirt, and I don't mind being seen in public with this look. So when you're differentiating, even in your sport clothes, we talk about the difference between just being casual. Some guys are really, you know, their pants, their gym clothes look like crap. They're beat up. It's like, you know, they've been just working in the backyard and they brought it with them, you know, and they're smelly and all this kind of stuff. No, when you're going in and out of the gym, you're tight. You could be in public and comfortable when you're going in and out of the gym. When you're working out, pop on the tank top. That gets sweaty. Bag it afterwards. But, man, I'm telling you what, you know, one of the things that really impressed me when I was dating over in Ukraine, even on the times when, like, we did a play day with the kids one time. And so I had Anna went with us to this little kid place. And so she wore sport clothes. But, I mean, it was tight from the shoes, which were black and red. The sweatpants were black with little red stripes. The top matched, had little red and black. And it was like a package. I mean, and so I'm like, it doesn't cost you anything more to buy a cool t-shirt that just you keep clean, looks good with the pants, shoes. Man, I've been buying some stuff out of online shoes that are just like rock my world. So, I mean, it doesn't have to spend a lot of money, but just be thinking, does it look good together? Could I be seen with, like, if I ran into my boss or a really good buddy or girl I wanted to impress, you know, that you just happen to bump into, would I be okay with how I feel about myself? That's just kind of your rule of thumb. In Ukraine, they have the saying, just every day, the girls will never go out of the house without looking sharp, because you never know if today I might run into my future husband or my future boss, and I could screw that up if I don't look good. Keep this in the back of your mind, because it's true. It's true.
That's very true. I mean, when I'm here in my loft and hanging out, you know, I bum around because, I mean, it's Los Angeles, and, you know, I bum around in my shorts and my t-shirt, but if I leave the vicinity of my space here in the community space, because we have a little gym here as well, you know, and I go out on the street, I'm conscious of what I wear. It sounds silly, but, you know, I'm like, do these shoes go with these shorts that I'm wearing? Is this t-shirt appropriate or too much for the shorts that I'm wearing? Because you always have your one statement piece, and you never want to overdo it. And so sometimes I will change a shirt, or I'll change the shorts, or I'll change my shoes just to walk down to the grocery store, because it looks presentable in public. It doesn't look like I'm lounging around my house. And I even get into it in the video that I made for you regarding suiting, like, practice dressing up. It sounds silly, but practice putting your clothes on, seeing what works, what matches, what doesn't match. And it doesn't have to be matchy-matchy, and I would prefer it not to be, unless you're very good at styling monochromatics and things like that, which can be difficult. So you're absolutely right. The women in all the Slavic countries, in Russia and Eastern Europe, even into the Latina cultures, you know, it is on point all the time, and those women will not go out of the house unless they're looking like $1 million. And it took me a little while to get used to that when I first started dating a lot of European women. And I'm it's like, we're just going to the grocery store. But then I realized, well, it's very important for them to look amazing wherever they go. And so it's as I got more into my own personal style, I started catching myself where I was slipping as well, and would be like, okay, before I leave the house, let's just take a quick look in the mirror here. Is this appropriate? Yes or no? And make the changes accordingly.
Totally. In fact, you know, what you find is, because I obviously I've done a lot with guys dating Slavic, Latina, and even Thai women. And so I tell guys, you know, you go over and you find this woman who looks amazing. And I had one guy, when he finally got her home, because we've had over 300 get married. So he gets her back home. He starts saying, all right, you're in America. You can, you know, you can wear t-shirts and blue jeans now. I'm going, dude, why'd you do that? You know, you could just, you know, it's like, let her have her culture, let her keep sharp, you know? In fact, it sharpens you up, because there's so many times I've gone and, you know, I'll see, you know, they're come down the stairs and she's looking, I'm going like, all right, give me a second. I get at least put on a golf shirt. I got to up a little bit, you know, and to up my game to keep up with it. And it's good. And here's the cool part, guys. At first, like you said, anything new feels awkward at first. So, you know, that's why, you know, like Dave is saying, you know, you're not used to fashioning up. You may feel uncomfortable with it and you don't like it. But what will happen though, is you realize you can find really good, comfortable fitting clothes that have good style. And then you'll start getting the compliments. When you start getting the compliments and people looking at you going, wow, that looks good. You'll never want to go back.
Yes, absolutely. I've been in and out of the fashion world for a very long time. You know, I started in it with photography in New York City. So I've seen the bad side of it and I've seen the good side of it. And I always took it personally, but I never took it as personal as I should have. And, you know, I really got into it as I got older and wanted to really learn and understand and study men's fashion, fashion in general. And so I've been able to really carve out some styles that work very well for me. And it takes time. It takes practice. You have to be okay with feeling uncomfortable at first when you're wearing new looks, putting new things on that you may have never seen yourself wearing. I always wore fitted type of jeans, but I wear skinny jeans all the time now because I have the legs to do it. They look great. And I get so many compliments on my jeans because they are so form-fitting. And then I wear a looser form-fitted cut, not so much skinny, but it depends on the look. And a lot of it is depending on how the man views himself. How does he feel energetically young? If so, he can wear a younger look. If he feels or sees himself as more of a refined gentleman, then he has no business walking out with a more contemporary younger guy's look. He should be wearing the golf shirt, the button-down shirt, you know, a cardigan, or things of that nature, and he should be more put together, because that's going to translate to whoever is viewing him and are interacting with him as something that is normal. And we've all run across the man that is old and has an old energy but tries to be young. It just doesn't work. It's not a good look in a good situation.
Yeah.
And it shows us off as people when we're interacting with somebody like that, because it's such a subtle thing unless you know what's going on to determine why you think that person's weird and you can't really connect with them. But it can be as simple as that fashion that they're wearing. You're like, this doesn't translate. It's just a little weird. But you get the gentleman that understands his internal age, not his actual age, and the way he presents himself to the world. And he can wear a much younger man's fashion and present himself as younger and have that younger vibe, and it all works perfect. And I've seen just the opposite. Younger guys who are, you know, the old soul dress much older and they look and it presents appropriately.
I part of the other answer to that is I think there's also sometimes when who's the couple? Donnie and Marie would say, I'm a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll, right? And I think there's a little bit of leather and lace and or what I call steel and leather for men. There's a difference in your look that varies. Like for instance, on my side, I did a personal brand site for Mark Edward Davis.com. And I get a picture of me when I launch my book, holding my book. And I'm looking like you. I've got a nice suit coat on. I've got a nice, you know, lighter shirt on, button up like this. And I look like the author, the expert. You know, but my preferred look on a casual daily basis is almost a biker look. You know, I got my tats, you know, and I'll wear, you know, my skull ring, or I'll wear something else. And I just do these black t-shirts, you know, that've got, you know, some Philip Plain, or get some stuff like that going on. And I love the energy, the vibe of that. But I think there's a different time and a different place. Like when guys come to our events, they're going to date the ladies. They want to make a great first impression. I don't care if you like the biker look. I don't care if you're a cowboy from the country. You're going to wear a coat. You're going to come there to make that impression on the first impression with a lady. So she has an initial, wow, this guy's classy. You know, he's got a good feel. And then as she gets to know you, you know, you can transition to different kind of looks to your daily life and these kind of things.
When it comes to that formal look that you're talking about, you know, whether, you know, let's just take what you like, for example, Mark, you know, you like that biker, more edgy, you know, hardcore look, you know, then you have, say, your client that may be a cowboy from, you know, Houston or something like that. And then, you know, you may have your Wall Streeter guy that's a little too preppy, that could be, you know, formalized. Like for you, like we could put you in a suit, and there's little tiny elements of edge on the formal side of the house that we would mix into that look so that you can represent that side of you in a very subtle way, but it still looks formal. And the cowboy, right? He, instead of having the suit with the jetted pockets, maybe he opts for a flapped pocket, which is a little more casual, but the suit still fits him very well. Instead of wearing a tie, he can wear the, I forget what they're called, the little like lasso with the thing that slides up here. It's a tie, but I can't
remember. Yeah, I know.
And then instead of, you know, the Wall Street guy always wearing Patagonia and, you know, there's silly little down vests that they wear on Wall Street. You know, he's going to put on a more formal jacket and show up that way instead of being kind of like smart casual, business casual that he's used to. But he could add little elements into that suit that are a little bit more casual the way he wears it. So,
you know, one of the looks I really like too on a casual side is like Zan Parian, you know, would wear, or we'd call the Johnny Depp look. You know, sure. He's got the braided leather laced bracelets. The clothes is like almost an Egyptian cotton linen, kind of a casual, loose fitting kind of a thing. And they have some really great shirts that have this kind of look and feel to it. They have a collar, they have button up, but they're in this Egyptian cotton. They have this different kind of look and feel. Those are designed to be untucked, worn with blue jeans. And so there's all kinds of different things you can mix and match depending on your mood, how you want to represent yourself, you know. And so to me, variety is the spice of life. I wouldn't lock myself into just one. Ukrainian sure. Grandma's here.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. And I think every man should identify, you know, kind of what his core characteristics are when it comes to fashion. Like I grew up on punk rock, so I love punk rock. I love military look. I love post-apocalyptic look, and very much into edgy stuff and darker stuff. And it was kind of funny. I'm very good at styling monochromatics when it comes to black, because prior to me working with my stylist friend, who's a celebrity stylist here in LA, he's like, "You have all black." I said, "Yeah, black's amazing. You got to have a character to wear black, and you got to be a character to wear black." So, I had a tremendous amount of black, but it was all in the subtle details that I would express by wearing all black. So, kind of going back, you know, we need to identify what it is that excites us when we look at fashion. And for me, it's those types of things. And so how do I mix that into my everyday wear? Not all of it at one time, but little accents and hints of it to show people, this is who I am. And you never want to go and dress like a mannequin in the mall, or what some other stylist is trying to make you wear that doesn't understand who you are. It's very important that whoever's working with you and your styling understands your background, or you understand it and can say, nah, I don't like that. And that's totally fine. Now, sometimes I've seen guys where yes, this is very appropriate and you should be wearing it. And they're like, no, no, no. And I'm like, it looks amazing. You should be wearing it. Give it a try. So,
And then you're always surprised. Then you get the feedback. All of a sudden the women go, wow, you know, you know, to me, it's funny. It's like, I don't care what it is. If I get a woman to go, wow, I'm wearing that again. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, I don't look at me. Everybody else looks at me. I look at me twice a day. When I look in the mirror leaving, when I look in the mirror coming back in, the rest of the time, other people are looking at me. So to me, it's more important what they see than what I see, you know, and the reaction I get from them. And if I get this kind of reaction from a woman wearing this, I'm wearing it. I don't care. I'm good. Now let's talk about, you brought something up really good because I have been, you know, I wore it for this video. I just wore a button up shirt. I got this in, Sydney, Australia. I really enjoyed, actually, let me think. Yes, I did. I've had some that are similar that I also had made for me in Bangkok. Because I was a regular guy. I never got into suited, tailored, never had anybody make anything. But I was started going to Bangkok. They have these little tailor stores, like every other store. They're more common than 7-Elevens. I mean, it's just crazy how many there are. And so you go in there, they measure you up, and the next day they deliver to your hotel room these shirts that are made for your body size. You're like, wow, this is cool. It's like $45. You're like, are you kidding me? You know, so I got into it, and I enjoyed it. I learned some things like this is the roll-up I learned on the Australian shirts. It's like since they put a little color in the collar, most guys roll this up three times and covers up the color. So I like this thing where you bring the color from the inside of the thing and you put it up first and then you just roll the rest of the material so it goes like this. So normally your shirt looks like this. Nobody would see the color. So instead you open the color up, lift it up here, and then just do the last part to roll over it. So you end up with this line that comes across. Just nice little touches.
Nice accent that pops up here with the collar. I mean, I have the same on my sleeves. You know, when I design the shirt, it works with the lining inside my suit and then the melting under the neck of the suit as well as the collar here in my shirt. So yes, very cool important stuff. To have those details. Most men, unless they're into fashion, will not recognize that. But I guarantee you, any woman that's looking at you is going to catch every single little detail. That's what they do.
And it doesn't take long. You know, it doesn't take me any more to roll it this way than it would the other way. You know, so it's free. These are little free things you learn. Let's get back to color for a second, because I was criticized for a while that I was like you. They say everything in my wardrobe is black, you know, because I love black. I wear black, but those are not I have some, if I'm like, typically this is one of the lighter shirts I have that I would wear without a coat. So typically my rule of thumb is if I'm not wearing a coat, I'll go dark colors for a man. And especially when, you know, I had a belly, when you have darker colors, it doesn't show as much.
Sure.
That really helps. So if you're wearing a coat, you know, lighter colored shirts, and if you're wearing a coat, really don't go dark. You know, I think it's a big mistake. A lot of times guys are trying to wear dark over top of dark. You know, I know that Keanu Reeves gets away with that, you know, but it's like, it's really kind of hard. And even on him, it presents a kind of a dark feel and an edginess to it. I think there's a classiness to wearing a coat, whether it's blue or black or gray, with a lighter color shirt. No problem. If you're not wearing that, then go darker colors. Go darker blues, darker reds. Get something that pops, you know, in terms of stronger colors. And then your jeans can go on your black jeans, grayish jeans, designer blues. Blues, just make sure it doesn't look like you wore it cleaning the backyard. You know, it looks like you did it on purpose with some, you know, some style. You know, but I think that's one of the bigger differences. You know, if you're not wearing a coat, go darker. If you're wearing a coat, go lighter.
Yeah, you can. It's a nice contrast. But also what you're saying about like what Keanu Reeves, the dark on the dark, that's when you're getting into those monochromatics. And it could be something as simple as, say you have a black jacket and a black t-shirt, or not t-shirt, but like a button-up shirt or something, but it has texture to it. So when the light hits it, it has a more of a sheen than maybe the flat light that hits the jacket. And that's how you can differentiate. And those are subtleties, and that takes some time to learn. But for what you're saying, you're absolutely right. Like blue, gray, brown, a lighter tan, and black are the most common palette colors for men. And, you know, you want to look at different colors against your skin. Like blues and greens work very well against my skin. And then I also found like these rusty kind of reds work very well with my skin tone as well. So you wanna look at that too. You know, what does my skin tone look like? And against certain colors, and that way you're able to pick things out that really accentuate, you know, your eyes, for example, or your hair or your skin tone. And so it's a lot of work that goes into it, but the more you practice, the more you play, like I was saying, the more you're going to learn what colors work for you. And I really feel that if a guy, like you were saying, Mark, is maybe carrying a little extra weight, might be a little embarrassed or self-conscious about it, getting maybe something that has a slight pattern to it, like a window pane jacket, something that diverts the eye away or misleads the eye from that extra weight that he's carrying. Maybe it could be a mid-gray jacket with a black shirt underneath that kind of shrinks the visuals of that person's body. There's lots of manipulation that can be done, just like you were saying, with the height manipulation of tucking the shirt in or leaving it untucked, depending on how much height you want to present based on your actual height. So those are all excellent ideas and something that I play with and everybody plays with that is into men's fashion and styling. So if you have any concerns regarding, you know, size or extra weight, there's ways to hide it until you get it off till you can feel comfortable. Or if you just don't want to do the work and you just want to hide it, there's ways to do that. And exactly like you're saying, you know, with the manipulation of colors and layering. Layering is something that I find men do not understand and women understand it very well. I love very cold days and fall and winter because I can layer lots of different layers on me and it looks cool. And I really enjoy that. We just can't do that in the summer as much.
I hear you. Well, let me bring up one other one because I saw this one time a guy in Ukraine did this and we started dressing him and the lady's really impressed. And so we got him in good sweaters, solid sweaters, you know, dark. They have now these kind of hybrid pants. They're not dress slack pants, but they're not quite jeans. They're right in the middle. There's just this great combo kind of hybrid pants. So he's looking good. We got him out of the tennis shoes and just into some casual, you know, solid suede and other leather kind of shoes. And you know, you can find these things. You really don't have to spend a lot of money just being aware of what you're doing. But he started wearing his college football, you know, what do they call it? Letterman jacket? His Letterman?
Yeah, Letterman jacket, yeah.
And it was like 20 years old and it was faded and it was green and yellow, you know? So we're like, no, please no. Just no. Yeah. Just say no. So that, listen.
That is a look that can be pulled off, but you have to have a very specific way of doing it. And that's
or an appropriate occasion. If you're doing something exactly sports related, if you're going on a picnic, you know, and it's a little brisk, okay, you know, but coming out to go see your girl, you know, when she's going to meet you for a date.
No. Yeah. If you're going to a semi-formal or even, you know, semi-formal to formal event, that's a big no-no. That is something that you would wear out on a night with the boy.
Okay, here's the rule of thumb, because I say this, because you got to think about, you know, we deal with more than even in the American Western culture, the Europe, as far as Western Europe, UK, Australia, more than those, the ladies from the Slavic world, from Latin America, from, you know, Thailand, Asia, they're very social oriented. They're very aware of, like, they understand that when they're out in public with this guy, they understand that they're probably going to run into one of their friends or one of their mom's friends or somebody who knows them. And so if you look like, you know, a guy in a sloppy Hawaiian shirt wearing shorts and flip-flops, she's going to be embarrassed to be seen with you in public because she knows it's going to get back to her. Her mother will say, who were you with? You know, Olga, you know, my cousin Olga called me up and said, you're with us, you know. And so really, in a sense, she's dressing for you. She's dressed, she takes time. And guys, honestly, you can do this without any sexual harassment. You can always compliment a woman and thank her for taking the time to look so beautiful. Say, I know it was work on your part. I know you put in more work than guys have to do to be ready. And just say, I just want to tell you, I appreciate it. You look wonderful. You can never go wrong with that compliment. But the truth is, yes, they put a lot of time and thought and effort in to get ready for you. So you need to get ready so that when she's walking down the street with you on her arm, that she's proud of you. So she almost hopes her friends will see and run into her with you going like, wow, you're with a sharp looking guy. You know, so get out of your own head. This isn't about you. When you dress, it's not about you. Like you said, you see yourself twice a day. When you're heading out the door, you look in the mirror. When you come home, you see yourself in the mirror. Other than that, it's about everybody else. And you want to convey an image that one is like, people pay attention to you. They respect you. You look sharp. You feel good about yourself. And that anybody you're with says, wow, this guy's cool. Let's go out. I'm happy to be with you. Let's go do stuff. And especially the woman in your life.
Absolutely. It's very important. And Anna always says that, you know, at least in Romanian culture, that your partner is your mirror. And I thought that was really cool, because if I'm not up to par and she's not up to par, then we're not holding each other accountable to be our best. And so she doesn't have that problem with me, because I enjoy fashion. And so I'm always, you know, trying to look my best. And it's funny, sometimes she's a little casual. She's like, I can't go out because you look better than me. But the woman is to be seen. She is the beautiful thing on your arm.
That's
it, it is about her. It's not so much about us, but when we take a little bit of effort and a little bit of time to look sharp, she glows even more. And she is, you're absolutely right in what you're saying. She wants to show you off. And that is a very big deal for a woman. When she has a man that knows a little bit and can dress nice, she wants to show him off.
And you want to be, why wouldn't you want to be that for her? Why wouldn't you want to be that for her? So I just think it's worth this extra effort. Guys, get over yourself. It's not about you. It doesn't take that much more to pay attention. And in addition to fashion, I think we covered colors, shirts in and out, button up, these kind of things. A couple of just generic common sense. We shouldn't have to say it, but I will say it. Be clean and washed and smell good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I shouldn't have to say it. But
I covered that in that video I made for you, Mark, and I had to take a second before I shot it to say to myself, I'm really making this video. Like, I really am taking the time to tell guys that you should have fragrance, you should clean your fingernails and your hands and clip your toenails. I'm like, I cannot believe that I'm making this video, but it's the truth. I will go into a store somewhere and I'm like, oh, I mean, because the guys stink. Or, you know, I'll shake somebody's hand and it's like covered in dirt, or their fingernails are, you know, longer than they need to be, or they're walking around with flip-flops onto the beach and their toenails look like they're Shrek toenails or something like that. It's not hard to do. It's such a simple thing. And you know, for women, their toenails and their fingernails and their hands are, you know, items of beauty, as they should be. And they treat them very, very well. And we don't even have to do a tenth of the amount of work that they have to do. All we need to do is trim them, and that's it. And if we really want to go get a nice foot massage and a rub, go get a pedicure. I mean, that's...
Guys, listen. I've talked to the ladies about this. You got to realize I've dealt with thousands of women in my business. I've interviewed over 100 of them. And they won't say it in this way, but I promise you, I've had several tell me, you know, Mark, when we see fingers like that, we're thinking, where are these hands and fingers going to be going? So I'm just saying, if you have really would like to go to second, third and base and home run, you know, she's thinking about where those hands are going. So don't create a roadblock for yourself. Now, the other side, aside from that, is then the clothes you are going to wear. Like I have this dark blue shirt I was going to wear over here, and I pulled it and realized I'd worn it before, and there's some wrinkles here. I didn't get my Ukrainian grandma to iron it for me. So I said, no, I can't wear that, because it matters. You want to just take a look. Is what I'm going to wear, does it look like it's been through the mill? You know, is it trashed? Is it wrinkled? You know, is it, you know, it, how is the clothes before I yeah. put it on? Just give a quick thought to it, because, you know, I remember I was single for many years, and what I would always time it is I'd do my laundry, and I would do that thing where I get a 5-minute warning before it's done, so I can go pull it out of the dryer and just put it on the hanger. I didn't even have to iron them. If you grab it at the right time, you put it, and then it's, you know, but just so they're not wrinkled, and so everything looks good, and so, because it's the same clothes, it doesn't cost you any more to go out with the same clothes looking wrinkled and haggard or sharpened and
straightened and ironed. Yeah, and if you don't like to iron, that's a great way to do it, Mark. I mean, I even put my t-shirts on hangers, and I think that everyone should have wood hangers in their closet, not these cheap plastic ones, because they put a lot of dents and creases and weird things in the shoulders of your shirts.
Yeah.
Even my t-shirts are on hangers, and they're on wood hangers, and I don't have to iron anything. I just do like what you're saying.
Exactly.
Pull it out
of the dryer, put it right on the, I literally go, when I pull it out of the dryer, I have a stack of hangers right on the top, and I just go boom, 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 boom. Even my t-shirts, I hang on my t-shirts. And I agree with you. It drives me, those stupid plastic hangers are meant for women, and they have those little hooks in them for women's dresses to hang on. And those little things, it's like, it drives me crazy. First, I can't get my shirts back off of it, and then, like you said, it creates these little dings. So you're sitting here with a nice shirt, and it's got this niche right here because it hung on the hanger and has these little dents in it. Drives me crazy. It's like they make all hangers for women. It's like, forget that. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's let gravity do the work for you if you're going to be too lazy to iron. But ironing is not difficult. It's very simple. Very, very simple. And yeah, if you're going out with wrinkled shirts or wrinkled clothing, you know, what does that say to the world? Oh, I haven't been prepared to leave the house. I'm behind.
And what it says to the woman is, you weren't worth my time and effort to put myself together to look good for you. And you don't want to make that impression. Now, also, I was the lazy one. Like I said, I didn't iron. So either I'd go down, because you can, it's like for $1.25, you can get your shirts pressed at the laundromat. You know, I'd drop off a couple a week. You know, $3 a week to have somebody professionally, you know, stuff. And the rest of the time, I pull it out of the, guys, it just, little strategy. It doesn't take that much, but do it.
It's very, very simple, and it makes a world of difference in the way you're perceived when you're moving around town.
Now, the other thing I'm going to say, the last thing on this is, when you're buying your, just even your, you know, if you want to get some, like, I have Philip Plein. I love Philip Plein stuff because it's European. It's kind of like the only brand close in America, which is also funny, a European brand, is Diesel. If you go to Diesel stores, they have these kind of like, it's just, everything they have has got something in it. It's got a really cool, unique little thing to it. And other than that, if you don't have something that blends and works well, I'm going to recommend you stay away from anything printed. Just stay away from it with solids. Because, you know, it's really hard today. So many t-shirts are just, they're stupid. They have stupid things on them, and you don't want to do it. Don't wear a t-shirt that has anything on the chest. None of these big things like that. If you have to, like even these shirts, well, I had these made for me, but you know, stay away from ones that are like logoed and branded. If they're big brands, subtle, subtle, subtle. You don't want the emphasis on the brand. It's about you. So stay solid, stay simple, stay clean. In fact, just last month, the first time I got a non-solid shirt, it was plaid. I haven't had a plaid shirt in forever, but the girls convinced me. I was out with the ladies from my office, and they were saying, Mark, you gotta wear this. So I got a red and black plaid shirt to wear with jeans, and it looks okay. I wasn't ready for it. But other than that, guys, just stay solid, man. It's don't even think about it. Look, the smartest guys in the world wear the simplest wardrobe. Steve Jobs had the same sweater, the same jeans, the same shoes every day. And I worked in Silicon Valley for a while, and that was true. There was like, it was almost a joke. There's the Silicon Valley look. It was a button-up shirt, jeans, and white tennis shoes, you know, but everybody wore it. It was the same thing every day. Not recommending you wear white tennis shoes with your clothes, but I mean, if you get down to some basic stuff, you don't have to think about your clothes. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And you know, unless you're a college guy, you know, the printed t-shirts are not the way to go. You know, those, I even kind of recommend getting rid of those in the video that I made. You know, that's college days. Those days are over. You know, throw that stuff out. It depends on what is printed on that shirt that makes a difference. It can be, if you're going for a casual street style look, and you're having a jean jacket over top and it's a peep of color underneath, that's acceptable. because it's just, again, showing some layering, it's showing some contrasting, but most men do not use it in that way. They're just, oh, it's a giant logo. Let me put it out there so I can get attention because I spent $150 on this t-shirt. That is a huge no-no.
Yeah. Most of the time they spent $30 and bought it at a concert. So that's it's okay. You know, and I'm with you. The Philip Plain stuff I wear, they'll have like little skulls or things on it, but they're like black satin on black. You know, it's not like, yeah, it's not like the, like what, I lived in Chico area for a while, and the Chico State was, their mascot was three bears with beer mugs, you know, so if you're wearing a green shirt with three bears and beer mugs on them, probably not a good idea to be seen in public, just not even to be seen in public anymore.
Like a Christmas holiday party sweater to me.
Right? It's like one of those elephant gifts, you give it to somebody else, you pass it on, right?
So, exactly.
No, that's great stuff. Well, listen, this is fantastic. Between your course, this conversation, I'm going to put together one more with a book. We want to put together, you know, kind of a guide. We'll give to the guys as well. This is going to be, you know, really a great start. And obviously with, you know, here we are, we're talking to, you know, hundreds, potentially thousands of guys out there. So these are guidelines. Once you start down your path, then you'll start finding a rhythm. You'll start getting compliments. You'll start finding things that you get. When you start getting biofeedback from the world around you that, wow, you look good, you'll go down those paths. You'll find out what works for you. But we just want to give you some places to start and to make you aware, because a lot of times guys aren't even aware, you know, of how they come across, because we don't care. We are egocentric. Hey, I wear what I want to wear, and if you like me, you know, you're going to have to like me the way I am. And I want to rebuke that. If you ever thought about that, look, people are just going to have to like me the way I am. It's like, that's not the way to start. First of all, for somebody to even get to know you as you are, don't make them overcome a bunch of hurdles. You know, I gave this example. If you're dating a girl who decided to have purple hair, you know, and she's a sweet, warm girl. You know, she gives, you know, she spends weekends at the orphanage. She's tenderhearted. She would cook meals for you and massage your feet. But you can't get past the fact she has purple hair. It's like the same thing is with you. If you think you have this attitude like, hey, they're just going to have to take me the way I am, you know, I'm not going to change for them. It's like, don't make them get over your bad habits. First thing is just make a good general impression that they can get to know you without having to get over your stuff. And then in time, like I tell the guys when we go overseas, in time, you know, if you're a cowboy, don't wear a big hat on your first date. You know, come dressed good. And then, you know, by the time you get married, your wife, all your babies wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots, you know, but don't make them have to get over, what does this mean to you? Who are you? Why are you doing this? In first impressions, just be good. Be universally just good looking as a guy, clean, solids, smelling good, and just let them get to know you, and then you can continue to unfold the rest of your personality through your various presentations on down the road.
Absolutely. And women love discovery. You know, they love to discover what their man is about. So, you know, if you want to put those boundaries up, you know, you're gonna be in for a little bit of a fight. To me, it's never beneficial to put boundaries up when we're going into something new, whether it's business, whether it's a friendship, whether it's dating, etc. You don't ever want to do that. So, you know, maybe backing down from your statement piece and, you know, whatever statement you're trying to make a little bit, and just kind of being a little bit more bland, a little bit more normal. Unless you can really own what you're doing, then you have no business actually going and doing that. Now, the thing that I would say, like, if you're a professional stylist or you're working in the world of fashion, sure, you're going to be wild and above the top, because that's your job. That's who you are.
It's your profession. It's your calling card.
It's your profession, and that makes sense. But if you're going to be doing that and it's not backed up by who you really are and your profession, your lifestyle, then it confuses her. It confuses other people, and they're just like, oh, I don't know how to take this. So, very important to do. And one other thing is, you know, people or men, I think, worry about, oh, am I going to be too overdressed? And I don't think that you could ever be too overdressed. Now, if you go to a Slayer concert and you're wearing a pink polo and khaki pants, yeah, that's a little weird, but I'm telling you, that crowd would probably love it, quite honestly.
Well, yeah, you know, I say you're not going to go to the beach in a tuxedo, right? So, I mean, sure. You got to be appropriate to the environment, but I always say at least be in the top 20%, hopefully 10% of the best dressed there. So, you know, you look like whatever is appropriate for that environment and be in the top 20%, maybe the top 10% of good, solid dress for whatever that occasion is a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, you always want to look at the environment that you're going into. What is the event or a place that you're going, and how are people most likely going to be dressed there? If you're a little overdressed for that environment, that's fine. People are going to respect that. Now, if you come in way underdressed, that's more of a problem than being overdressed. So it's always better to err on the side of being just a touch overdressed. Nobody's ever going to complain that you look too good. I've never run into that in my entire life. In let's just take New York City, for example. I had this experience with this exact suit. I was walking down Fifth Avenue on a Friday afternoon around 5:30, 6 o'clock. Everybody's coming home from Wall Street and working. And I had two guys and one girl stop me in a matter of two blocks to talk about this suit. Not because it's some flashy, amazing suit, because it fit so well. They were like, who tailored that suit? And that environment was not a place to be, you know, in a sense, wearing the suit at that time of day, you know, in the way I was wearing it, because I had it done very formal. It wasn't like casual. I just finished my work, had my tie undone or any of that stuff. It was all buttoned up, tidy. And again, that was just a place that, in the style that I was wearing the suit, was too formal, but it caught a lot of positive attention. So you can never go bad looking too good.
I like it. You never go bad looking too good. That's a good rule of thumb. Well, you know, guys, honestly, you know, it just, we're helping you think about things you don't normally. And honestly, it's your culture, all of our culture here in the West, is less that way. When I'm in Ukraine, even the men dress sharper. You know, you'll see, I've done some videos with guys just on the streets, and you'll see a lot of the guys will wear like solid, all blacks, you know, black sweater, black t-shirts, black jeans. They dress sharp and they're clean. You know, nice belt, get a good clean look. You know, the thing I find when, sometimes when there's somebody being flashy, like for instance, once in a while, you've probably seen these guys where they think it's their calling card to be over the top. They wear a zoot suit. They wear a purple suit, green suit. And typically it's a guy who's is self-conscious about something else in his life. Either he's really overweight or he's insecure. And so he does something that's so loud, you ignore his personality. And again, doing that is one of those things where then it's harder to get to know the guy, because who are you? You aren't the suit. Who are you? Yeah. You know, and so it's like the girl with purple hair. You're creating your own purple hair for somebody to have to then get past to get to know you. And most people don't have that time. They're not that interested. There's not a reason to get past that. It's just like, okay, that's your thing. Nice. Have a good day and move on. And so it's just not necessary to go purple green suits to.
When I see that kind of stuff, I red flags go off for me immediately. I'm like, why? What's up with this suit is going to be the first thing I'm asking. Like, why are you wearing this? And there may be a legitimate reason. I have run into some legitimate reasons for why somebody would wear some crazy suit.
Such as?
Like, these weird, like, bachelor parties and things like that, where guys, they would agree to wear like ridiculous suits or what, like some kind of party or a theme or something like that.
Halloween. And,
yeah, Halloween.
It's scary. I was scared already.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to be like, why? Why is this? Why are you doing that? And then, but that's me. But most people wouldn't do that because I'm curious. I'm going to ask those questions as to there's a reason why you're wearing this. And if it's not a good enough reason, then I know that person's a little off. And so therefore my red flags have served me well, and I quickly leave that conversation.
Yeah, but people have to realize that. And there's another one of my red flags when I see somebody who sends me emails in all caps. Dude, I'm like, okay, there's issues here. You need yeah. counseling. And so there's things when, and anybody who writes an email in all caps, they don't think what they have to say is worth reading or hearing. And so they think they have to scream it louder to be heard. And so right there, you're dealing with things. So sometimes overcompensating, being too loud or too extreme, sends a message that I'm not secure with myself and I need to overcompensate with it. And trust me, guys, like I said, go to markedwarddavis.com and look at both looks. I've got one is this, what I call my biker look. It's the thing with my rings, my tats are showing, it's black shirt. Right below that's the picture of me in a nice coat, looking just like Dave, holding my new book. There's times and places for everything. And I really believe you should have a number of things. I think you should be a little bit Indiana Jones and a little bit James Bond, and why not? Why not? Enjoy all of them. But when you're James Bond, be good James Bond. When you're Indiana Jones, be awesome Indiana Jones. And that's the whole thing. It's like, be intentional. So it looks like you came out the door looking like, this is who I am, and I'm preparing myself with the world, and I love it. For a while, just because I got so impressed with Zanparian, I was wearing all the leather strap beaded, bracelets, because it's like so cool on him. I like that, and so whatever. But whatever your thing is, whatever your method is, your theme is, like, to try to go out and be a mixed confusion bag of, I came from the gym, but I'm trying to be James Bond and Indiana Jones all in one confusing collage.
Not gonna work.
So
not gonna work. You'll get some looks for that one.
Not the kind you want.
No, not the kind you want. Now, if you go to a nice nice social club that requires suit and tie, but also has a gym and things like that, most of the rules and regulations at those clubs are, you do have to enter and exit with your suit and tie on. But depending on which part of the club you're going to, you're allowed to roam around on, say, that floor with your athletic wear. But when you come back through the lobby and out of the facility, then you need to have your suit on. So, though you can, as you get into those more upper echelon elitist kind of clubs, that is the way and standard of operation, and it's required. So
yeah, I'm just hearing the words WC Fields right now. I would never be a member of a club that would have me. So.
Yeah, right.
It's all good. All right, well, let's stop here before we completely overwhelm the guys. But guys, it's just some good guidelines, so go back, watch this again, take some notes, read the outlines, and we look forward to answering your questions and helping you on your way to, really, you'll never go back, guys. You'll never go back. Once you start dressing a little bit and you start getting the biofeedback from the world around you about, you start getting compliments in your clothes and you're going like, oh, okay, all right.
I feel good. I look good. And you start to see yourself in a different light. And just to reaffirm what you're saying, Mark, these are a set of guidelines and rules. And much like, say, auto racing or different types of sports, there's a set of guidelines and governing rules to racing cars, racing motorcycles, or playing sports. And what do we do as men? We learn those rules, and then what do? Learn how to break them and learn how to manipulate them to our advantage.
But start with the rules.
It's very, very important to start with the rules, because if you don't start with the rules, you don't understand the fundamentals. How can you ever start to think creatively as to how to manipulate and break those rules to your advantage? So, and that's what professional athletes and car racers and motorcycle racers do. And that's what happens in the fashion world. You will see all the rules broken and it looks amazing. Why? Because that person understands, for them, their own personal rules, what works for them, what doesn't, and what works for this event and what doesn't. And then they can manipulate and play and all that and understand the subtleties to get the look and feel that they are looking for.
Fundamentals, right? Start with the fundamentals.
Absolutely. It's even at the highest levels, the fundamentals are always at play.
I love it. Dave, you're wealth of wisdom and knowledge. I love it. This is a perfect topic for you, and I'm really glad. Appreciate you sharing everything you did, and I'm sure you had a lot of value.
Had a lot of fun doing it. It was good to talk with you, and love to help your guys out if they need any help. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There you go, guys. We'll make Dave's email available to you, and you guys can email him if you have specific questions. So thanks for being part of the class. All right, brother.
All right, man. Take care. It's good to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.